Hello. Do you ever try and put yourself in somebody else's shoes to see the world from their point of view? I mean, it's one of the most important things about pacing and leading, the idea that you can step into somebody else's world and see the world through their eyes, because it's only when we really understand what it's like to be the other person that we can lead that person to a win-win outcome. So in this session, I'm going to introduce you to perceptual positions. And this is a technique that really helps you to literally put yourself in somebody else's shoes, to understand the world from their point of view, to get an objective view of the interaction that's going on. Because in any kind of effective communication, you really need to step into somebody else's world rather than what we normally do, which is try and drag people into our world. So I'm going to introduce you to the process and then, I'll give you some ideas about how to use this effectively with some examples. It seems like we have a real connection with space. So a lot of our thoughts and feelings and ideas are anchored into the spot that we're sitting in. And one of the big problems with trying to put yourself in somebody else's shoes is that when you're sat in your chair, it's really hard to separate your thoughts from what the other person might be thinking or feeling or what's important to them about a situation. And to experiment with this, try watching the TV from a different part of the room and just see whether that changes the way that you think or the way that you feel in any way. Or, when you're in a meeting, sit in a different chair, because we very often gravitate to the same places, the same chairs that we normally sit at in meetings. And I know that when I've run courses in the past, that people almost always on day two of a course come and sit in the chair that they're actually sitting in day one. And it just feels like they see the world in a particular way because they sit in that chair. And this process takes advantage of that fact by actually physically making you move and see the world from a different position. So I'll introduce the concept to you and the process and the way to go through this process. And I'll illustrate it with a personal experience, and then I'll give you a couple more examples for you to think about afterwards. In any situation that you interact with somebody else, you have yourself. So there is you involved in that situation. You also have another person, the other person, or a group of people involved in that interaction, because this process works just as well if you're preparing for a presentation or a speech to a group of people or an interaction with a group of people. And have you ever done role play on a course that you've been on? I know it's one of the things that people hate most about courses is the fact they might have to do a role play. But I know that when I've done at the start of a course, what are your hopes and fears about the course? And one of the fears is they don't want to do any role play. And then at the end of the course, when we've done some role play, people almost always say, "What was the best part of the course? The role play really got a lot out of it." So I understand people's fear about this. But if you've ever done role play, often on those sort of courses and those sort of role play, you have an observer. Oops. And if you've ever been in that position, what are the advantages of being the observer in that situation? Well, often people say to me and from my own point of view, I think that the real advantage is that you're not involved in the interaction between these two other people during the role play or even in real life, I guess. You can sit outside of a situation and watch it, which means that you can be much more objective. Because you're not involved, you can see it in a completely different light. So it's really helpful to have an observer in any interaction that you're undertaking, because they could give you objective feedback on what was happening and what's working and what isn't working. So this process, I can show you how to be your own observer. So this is how it works. Just for sake of ease, just imagine that this is you. So the first thing you do is you step into your position, the position of self, if you like. And to give you an example, I once did a postgrad diploma in HR management, and As part of the course, I had to do a module on industrial relations. Now, I hated industrial relations with a passion, but I had to do the course. So I had to be there to do that part of the course. And the problem was that part of the course was last thing in an evening. It started at 6:45 at night. We just had a long break. It went on till 9 o'clock in the evening. I then had to go and get a train back from Manchester, which meant I wasn't getting home till after midnight. And because I really hated industrial relations with a passion, it was really difficult to motivate myself to go along and do the course, do the module. But I had to pass that module to pass the whole course. And somebody showed me this process. I'd only just kind of got involved with NLP at the time, and I hadn't really come across this at that point. So he showed me this process. And the process starts with you seeing the position, seeing the situation from your point of view. Way to get the most value out of this is to set three chairs up in this kind of triangular pattern, one for you, one for the other, and one for the observer. And so having set these chairs up, I sat in the me position, and I imagined myself looking at the lecturer in the industrial relations program module, and she walked in to the room, and she sat and looked at the audience. The students sat in the lecture theatre. She put her head down, opened up the folder, and started to talk, and carried on talking until the end of the lesson. So, putting myself in my shoes, looking at the other person, what am I thinking? So what I need to do is think about, what's the situation like for me? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What's important to me? And what do I notice when I look at this imaginary other person in this other chair? So from my point of view, I don't want to be here in this lecture theatre. I'm not interested. I feel really anxious about the fact I've got to be here and I'm going to be late home. I'd rather be at home with the children, and it's going to be a very late night. And if I left now, I could be home a lot earlier. So I really don't want to be here. And what do I think when I see her? I think, well, she's not really interested. She's just got her head down. She's just talking. And it's just the whole situation just doesn't feel good at all. So the next step is, once you've sat in your chair and in your position and you've thought about it from the other person's point of view, the next step is to get up and physically move and sit in the chair of the other person, looking back at you, the imaginary you. So imagine yourself as being the other person. So there I am. I'm the lecturer walking into the lecture theatre and getting my books out and looking at all the people in the audience who look completely bored, uninterested, don't want to be here. That's what it seems like to me. Now, from me as the lecturer's point of view, what's going through my mind? Well, I would rather be at home with my kids than being here talking to this lot who aren't interested. I like my subject. I think it's really important, but they're really disinterested. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get through it as quickly as I can and as painlessly as possible, and then get out and go home. Now, that had never occurred to me. It had never occurred to me that the lecturer might actually feel the way that she felt and the way she when she came in. Now, I don't know whether this is absolutely true, but the point about this is, by physically moving and putting yourself in a different position, you're reacting to what you see when you look at the person who's doing the talking. So you will get a different viewpoint, a different understanding of the world around you. So once you've sat in the other person's chair and you imagine looking back at yourself, you then take the third position and you move physically into the observer chair. So as the observer, looking at these two people interacting in a completely objective view, what do you notice? What's the thing that comes to mind as you're not involved in that situation? And for me, the first thing that came to my mind when I physically moved and sat in the observer chair was there's no rapport, there's no interaction, there's no connection between the lecturer and me sat in the audience. Now, that had never occurred to me before either. So what you'll get from the observer is a different viewpoint. You'll get a third viewpoint. You'll get a viewpoint that's objective, that's not involved in the situation. And that information is really important. Because what you do with that information is you take it back to yourself. So we now need to move back to the original or first position. So you need to get up, go and sit back in your own chair and think about it. Think about the situation from your own point of view with the new information, the new insights you've had from being in the other person's chair and being in the observer chair. What do you notice from that point of view? And for me, what I'd taken from that was my own point of view, which I knew really strongly, don't want to be here, I'd rather be at home, don't like industrial relations, and the lecturer's position, which was, I don't want to be here, they're not interested in this subject, I think it's really important, so I'm just going to get over with and get out of the way as soon as possible. And from the observer position, the new information I had was, there's no connection, there's no rapport, there's no interaction. Now, the important thing about this is that I can't change the other person. All I can do is change the way I respond to the way that she behaves. And so I thought, well, what can I do that's different? Because, you know, what I'm doing at the moment isn't working. I need to have a different approach. So I thought, well, I go into that lesson being bored and being uninterested and not wanting to be there. So what if I pretended that I actually wanted to be there? So the next Wednesday, I went into the classroom and I sat there and I sat down and I had my pen poised, ready to write, and right way around. I had my pen poised, ready to write, and I was looking interested and focused and leaning forwards. And, you know, this is great. I'm really looking forward to this. So it was quite hard to do, but I managed it. And a lecturer came in and she sat down and she opened a folder and she started talking as usual. So I was sat looking interested and I put my hand up, and eventually she noticed that I'd raised my hand and I asked a question, which kind of took aback a little bit because nobody had ever asked a question in this lesson before. So she answered it. Went, okay, right, yeah. And I wrote something down. Then I asked another question, and then somebody else asked a question, and then somebody else asked a question, and she started to slow the pace of her communication down. She started to ask us questions and we responded, and there started to create an interaction between the lecturer and the people in the room. Now, the point about this was that it never got interesting to me, because at the end of the day, it was still industrial relations, but it made it easier for me to be there because it felt like there was some value in an interaction that was going on. And this is the important bit. You know that old phrase, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So the important thing about here is about trying something different. Now, that might not have worked. And what I'd have to do then is try the process again. So it's a really interesting, useful process. And, you know, I've introduced it to lots and lots of people over the years. And in almost every occasion, I'm greeted by a sea of blank faces thinking, oh, I've got to get one chair and then sit in another one and move back again. How can that possibly help? And this is one of the things you need to go away and try. I was once working with a group of joinery supervisors in Manchester from a building company. And I introduced this to them. It wasn't on the curriculum, but for some reason, it just seemed like a good thing to help them with. And they looked bemused and then went away. And the following week, when I came back, there was one of the supervisors was waiting for me in the room. And he was really excited. And he was like, oh, I've got to tell you this. He said, you know that empty chair thing you were talking about last time? He said, well, I was down in London and we're doing a hotel refurb in London. And I'd built this window frame in Manchester in the workshop, and we'd taken it down there and to put it in this window, in this hotel room window, and it wouldn't fit. And I was I was really panicking because of all the overrun costs and all this kind of thing, and the fact that I'd spent time on it and it wasn't working, and I couldn't understand what I'd done wrong. And he said, I'm trying to fit it, and it just wouldn't fit. It wouldn't fit. And in the middle of all of that stress, this thing that you talked about moving around and looking at it from a different view, jumped into my head. He said, so I went and stood over in a corner, and I looked at myself in the room trying to, and going, ah, and he said, and the answer came to me just like that. He said, it was really weird, but I do it all the time now. If I've got a problem on my bench in the workshop, I'll step to one side and have a look at me doing it and trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong. It really helps to clear my mind. And I know a managing director who has a board meeting without anybody in the room, which, you know, could work in one way, but he does it before he has a meeting. And if there's anything that he wants to introduce to the board to try and get the board to buy into, he'll stand at where he normally stands when he's presenting, and he will then present, think about it from his point of view. He'll go and sit in the finance director's chair and think about it from his point of view. Then he'll go and sit in the business development director's chair and the sales director and the HR director, whatever, all the way around the table, and he gets back to his space. And then he'll go and stand in the corner of the room and we'll look at the whole view, so as that observer position. And he says, every time I do that, I change the way that I'm going to introduce what I'm going to introduce because I've thought about it from other people's points of view. And he said, and before I go into the room, I've always thought about it from my point of view and tried to put myself in what will John, the finance director, think about this. But he said, it's the physical moving and sitting somewhere different that really, really makes the difference. So I really recommend that you try this out. Think about a particular situation that's coming up or one that you've already been through, and imagine it from your point of view. Set three chairs up or three post-its on the floor, one for you, one for the other person, one for the observer. Think about it from your point of view. Then notice what you see when you look at the other person. What their body language is like, how they're responding to what you say, what you're thinking about, what you're feeling, and then go and sit in the other person's chair and think about it from their point of view. So just to remind you of the process, you're thinking about it from your point of view, you're looking at the other person, imagining the other person in the chair, and how are they responding to what you're saying? Then when you've got it really clear in your mind, you go to the other person's point of view. You think about it from their point of view, what's important to them, what beliefs do they have, what issues are they thinking about, what outcome are they looking for, and you look back at yourself. And a delegate on a course once said to me, I didn't realize how aggressively I come across until I actually did this exercise and imagined myself talking. So it can give you some real, real interesting insights. So think about it from their point of view. Then, as a completely objective, dispassionate observer, what do you notice? And then finally, take all that information back to the self position. Think about it from your point of view. And what are you going to do with what you've just learned? Will it change the way that you interact? And if it will, what are you going to do? Because it's not always going to change the way you interact. You may decide that the way you're going about it is the right way, and you'll go in and you'll try it. It's a useful technique to use at the start of presentations or before presentations when you're planning. So think about the audience, go and sit in the audience, go and stand in one corner and look at what's going on there as well as from your own point of view. And I know when I do this, I change slides or I change the language or I change the stories I'm going to use. So it's a really, really powerful technique for preparation. It's also a good technique to use to reflect and to give yourself feedback on what you've just done, if it's gone well or if it hasn't gone well, to help you decide what you're going to do next time. So as someone said to me, people will think it's a bit weird when I'm sat in my office with three empty chairs moving around from chair to another. Well, they might do. But when you see the benefit from it, you will be setting up, you might have to put a requisition in for some more chairs for your office. Or you might go and use a conference room to do this in. But I guarantee that when you get back to the self position, you will have insights that you hadn't thought about before. So good luck with your perceptual positions. And I look forward to seeing you again.